Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Brian wants to get a shirt that says, I haven't been diagnosed, but we're all pretty sure. All right, so that's in our marriage. That's what we talk about. And to be honest, we talk about it respectfully, all right? That's like, it's a joke, but it's also not sometimes, all right? So we're not here to do that today. But we are here to talk about mental health. So the definition of mental health is the overall wellness of how you think, behave, and manage your feelings. Last Sunday's message was really foundational. So if you did miss last Sunday's foundational message, I do encourage you to listen to it. We talked about how historically there can be a view that mental health struggles are purely spiritual, and the only way to remedy them is to cast a demon out, all right? So it's over-spiritualization. Then there's others that are purely physical, and you never should pray. There's no redemption. It's all medical. Another one was that it's God gives you this test, all right? And it's over making it like a virtue, a religious virtue. All right, but we talked about a very different way to view it that's more holistic, and the fact that God made us mind, body, and soul, and spirit. Amen? And he can work through prayer. He can work through doctors. And it's a much more holistic view. And so I encourage you to listen to that if you didn't. Our key verse is in Luke 10:27. I encourage you to memorize this month if you are into memorization, which I hope we are. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And with all your mind, there we go. Love your neighbor as yourself, all right? And we're going to be looking at the different words that are in there, highlighting a different one each week. Pastor Brian will be sharing a part of his testimony. I know Pastor Caleb has a testimony and a word coming soon as well. But today we're going to look at the word strength. And I was going to sing the Shema in Hebrew today, but I'm going to save that for another sermon because we got a lot to get into today. But we will be saying that verse in Hebrew, which is fun. But the word strength means ability, might, power, strength. Love God with all my ability. Love God with all of my power. And when I was looking at commentaries, it said that the word used in this passage represents every physical, mental, even financial resource in our control. Luke realized that loving God in this way is more important than grand displays of sacrifice or burnt offerings. And remember, as we talked about last week, Luke was a physician. So when he says, love God with all your strength, he's a practical guy. He's spiritual, but he's also practical, right? How many know spiritual can be practical too? So I want to speak to any of us today who feel like our ability is tapped out. Is that just me? I feel like every spring, we're like coming up for air if you live in New York, right? But maybe it's been a life season. Maybe it feels like it's been your whole life. The buzz phrase for this is you're feeling burned out. So the definition of burned out, one dictionary says, a state of extreme emotional, physical, or mental exhaustion caused by prolonged, unmanaged stress. Now, we talked about stress a couple weeks ago, so I'm not actually going to get into this. This could be an entire month itself, all right? So as I said last week, we're not TED talking it. We're going into the Bible. We're going to see what Jesus says. And there's a lot to unpack on this subject. One kind of burnout is clinical, all right? If you feel like you could have clinical burnout, please talk with us and your doctor, all right? I just want to honor that kind of burnout. The kind of burnout I'm going to be talking about mostly today is something that all of us will experience to varying levels, all right? A couple studies say over 50% of employees are burned out in America. So 50% of us in this room right now are burned out at work. I will not ask for a show of hands. 93% of mothers report feeling burned out. 16% say they feel burned out all the time. I didn't look at that statistic before I chose it for Mother's Day, but I'm a mother for a year. I kind of felt it. I thought this is probably true. Yeah? A few burnout symptoms: lost energy or motivation, tired and fatigued more than usual, increase of anxiety, depression, irritability, feeling disconnected, even with close people, feeling numb. And I love how one person wrote, running to something to take the edge off of something instead of stopping to see what's causing you to be on edge. That is by Deborah Felita, and I am going to give a resource this morning if this is hitting home for you. She wrote a book called Soul Care. I attended a seminar by her. She's a Christian therapist, and I highly recommend it if you would like a deeper dive into this. But that could look like binging TV more, doom scrolling, going back to toxic relationships, and as she put it, screen time often correlates to our level of burnout. Maybe that just hit home for me as I was looking at this. But contrary to what the world says, you were not born to burn out. You were born to thrive. And if you're visiting here this morning, you'll get a little bag on the way out. And in it there's a little bracelet that says born to thrive. But how many know that when we get up in the morning, it often feels like the world's shouting, hey, you were born to burn out today. Is that just me? As I was writing this, I'm like, man, I feel like that's what happens so easily, right? But when you get born again, you get a new identity in Christ, hence the photo wall back there, all right? And that is our identity in Christ. Those words represent who Jesus says we are in him. Matthew 15 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. It is literally part of our God-given identity to shine. So one of the number one things the enemy wants to do is snuff out your light and burn you out and convince you that you were born to burn out instead of born to shine, be a light in the world and born to thrive. Are you following this morning? This is not just a mental health talk. This is not a buzz phrase. This is not a fad that I'm preaching on. This is our identity and calling as sons and daughters of God to learn how to steward the light that Jesus is in us. Amen? It says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. How many know it is more socially acceptable in our world to say you are burned out than to say you are doing well? Right? I think I've said this before here, but it's because I want us to think about it. I want to remind us. If I ask, how are you doing? It's normally better to say, I'm tired, I'm busy, I'm this or that, right? Instead of to say, I'm doing great. I'm not asking you to fake it. If you're burning out, be real. But it's also okay to be okay. I feel like normally we say it's okay to not be okay, which it is. We can say that. We need to say it more. But what if it's okay to be okay? Because of Christ, too. One commentary says, devotion to God is not abstract. It is a concrete stewardship of personal ability. Stewardship of personal ability. So burnout goes directly against our God-given design to thrive. This quote is part of a book by John Mark Comer called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. He says in here, there is a new epidemic of the modern world, hurry sickness. A few symptoms include restlessness, workaholism, emotional numbness, escapist behaviors, and a lack of spiritual disciplines. It's the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, right? So if this is hitting home, there is no condemnation, there's no shame this morning. We're all in this together. God is inviting us into a conversation to thrive, all right? So we're going to get into the Bible here more. We're going to land in, let's see, where are we landing? Luke 10, all right? So if you've got your Bible, you can go there. And since we're talking about burnout, I'm going to talk about what you're supposed to do in a fire. What are you supposed to do? Everybody. Stop, drop, and roll. Get out. Amen. All right, that's good. We can all go home now. Get out and go home. That's the cliff notes of my sermon. Just get out. Stop, drop, and roll. All right? So we're going to do this. I tried to make this kind of fun so we could remember it, because it's a little better if you can remember the message, right? That's kind of the point, so we can grow. So here we go. Number one is stop. Everyone say stop. Here we are. We are going to talk about Mary and Martha. All right, let's talk about who is Mary and Martha. We're going to talk mainly about Martha this morning. Fun fact, someone donated a vacuum to our church. It is a robotic vacuum, and it is named Martha. So if you ever come here on a Monday when, like, we're all, like, tooling around doing stuff, we're like, Martha, clean the front of the sanctuary. It's because she's a vacuum, all right? All right, don't leave the church over that. It was called, like, Bill or something, but I was like, no, it's got to be Martha. We had to rename it. Okay, so who is Martha? Not the vacuum cleaner. Now, in John 11:5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is noteworthy. It doesn't say Jesus loves all of us, but to actually have that written in scripture is noteworthy, all right? So Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Martha is the first to meet Jesus when Lazarus died. And who Jesus told, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. He said that to Martha, all right? Jesus asked if she believed this, and she replied, yes, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. It wasn't just Peter who recognized Jesus as Christ, but Martha too. This is really noteworthy here. Martha is someone in the scripture that's got some significance. She kind of gets a bad rep, right? So let's get into Luke 10. I believe this is starting in 38, all right? It might be 37. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted. Everyone say distracted. By all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. That word distracted means to be pulled from every side, diverting attention from what matters most, dragged all around, resulting in inner agitation and loss of focus. Rather than conveying simple busyness, it depicts an absorbing preoccupation that diverts attention from what matters. I feel like that literally is the description of motherhood. Is that anybody else? But these are the ingredients to long-term, if they don't change, that will produce burnout if we don't learn how to stop. Culturally, from a hospitable side, Martha was being really hospitable, right? And culturally, that mattered a lot. She was doing the right thing. Spiritually, Jesus said to serve, right? He served his disciples. He modeled that as a lifestyle, extreme serving, washing their feet. And he tells us to serve. Even in Luke 22, right? But emotionally and mentally, something had started to unravel in Martha, and Jesus knew it. How many know that on the outward side, we can look like we're doing the right thing, we can look like we're doing the spiritual thing, it can look good, but on the inside, something can start to unravel. And some of us are here today in that space, and we are praying, somebody notice me today. And I want you to know that Jesus notices you, just like he noticed Martha. Burnout starts when stress starts absorbing and preoccupying our minds and our souls. Martha was pulled by others' needs so much that she ignored her own to be in the very presence of God in her home. Can you imagine having Jesus in the flesh in your home? I go clean right now, right? But that's what Martha did, so maybe that was our problem. I don't know. As we talked about last Sunday, God wants to meet all of our needs, right? Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. He sees all of us because he created all of us. And even when we're looking productive on the outside, we're unstoppable, Jesus invites us to stop. We are called to serve and fulfill life duties, but from connection with Jesus, not for connection, right? Anyone ever catch yourself doing a lot of good, but you realize you're striving for something instead of actually serving from something? Does that make sense? I'll tell you what, if I like clean my house or do something to serve my husband for something, and he comes home and he doesn't notice what I did, it's a bad day, right? Because I served him for something. I was like, I thought you were gonna notice. Instead of just serving because I know, like, oh, I'm going to serve because we're married, and, like, I want to serve from relationship, not for relationship. Anyone following? So choosing a regular habit of connection with Jesus has massive impacts on emotional health. So just reading the Bible, one study found 4 times a week, this is why one of the reasons why we do our Thrive at Home Bible study here, produced 40% less bitterness, 32% less recurring or destructive thoughts, 15% less anxiety and 30% less discouragement and depression. Again, I'm not talking necessarily about chemical issues, but more struggles that we face, right? And reading the Bible renews our mind, brings breakthrough there. It can even bring healing, physical healing. It's not about performance, but about resting in how he made us. And he made us for connection. He made us to thrive in relationship. So my first question is, where do you feel like you can't stop? And pick a habit to connect with Jesus right there. Maybe it's on the way to work, you put the audio Bible on, or did you know that like our Thrive at Home actually has an audio version? You can listen to it, get in the word. Maybe it's a worship song instead of some other song that's going to bring you down. Whatever it is, and maybe you're like, nah, I got tons of habits. Well, that's great. Are your habits actually encountering Jesus, or have you made them into routines that you're just going through the motions? Let's do connection habits with Jesus, all right? So where do you feel you can't stop and make a habit to connect with Jesus? There's a song called I'm Unstoppable. I forgot the name of the artist, but it's just like, it's with Lecrae, and it's like this rap song and stuff. I put it on, and I was like, it should be I'm Stoppable. We don't need to be more unstoppable. We need to be more stoppable, right? No one would get the song. Everyone would boycott it. But we admire and we almost worship the ability to be unstoppable. Look how far I've persevered. Well, that's great. That is fantastic. We celebrate that. But we need to also celebrate the fact that we can be stoppable. The amount of times Jesus was interrupted in his ministry is ridiculous. He was stoppable. And of course, he was literally unstoppable too, all right? But just something to think about. All right, so number one, stop. Number two, drop. All right, drop. All right, here we go. Luke 10, 41 through 42. I think this is just verse 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and troubled about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. All right, let's get into the word studies here. So that word worried means anxious or pulled apart or to go to pieces or to be divided. Anybody who has a tendency towards anxiety or has been diagnosed with anxiety knows that when you're in an anxiety attack or an anxious moment, you feel like you're divided. It's a really good way of describing the feeling, I know personally. But that word troubled is interesting. I thought troubled, anyone ever been troubled? You're like, oh, that's troubling me, right? But this is not just to be troubled. This word means to make an uproar, to agitate, or to disturb. Or be disturbed. It's the same word used for when they described the wailing funeral for Jairus's daughter who died. The mob violence in Thessalonica against Paul and Silas. And now the same word used to describe Martha serving. You think you got a bad attitude when you serve. A mob that is violent. Think about that for a second. This just totally changed my view on this story. I'm like, wait a second, what's going on here? This isn't in the scripture, but you could maybe interpret that as Martha was having an anxiety attack. I don't know. It's just something to consider as an option, one interpretation. An uproar, an agitation, and disturbance, the same as a wailing, a funeral, and a violent mob. That sounds closer to an anxiety attack than someone just having a bad day serving. But there's something really interesting here. Jesus didn't cast a demon out. He didn't rebuke her. He didn't deliver her. He invited her into his presence. Think about that. Just like we talked about last Sunday, it can have a physical root, a spiritual root, a mental root, an emotional root. He didn't cast anything out. She's like having an uproar and a violent mob level. And he just invites her closer. He invites her closer. There are only 7 times God calls on someone's name twice in the Bible. They're all very powerful moments. Like Moses at the burning bush. Samuel, hearing the audible voice of God. How about Saul's vision, right? Saul to Paul. And Martha having a mental health crisis right here. She had her own burning bush moment. And oftentimes we look for a burning bush and we're like, if Jesus could just show up in a burning bush, I would pay attention. But what if when you're having a burning out experience, what if you're on your way to a burnout, you don't even realize it, and you're having an anxiety attack or whatever we want to call Martha having, all right? It's a very stressful mental health crisis moment. God is calling your name twice. He's calling out your name. He's not afraid of you in that moment. Where we drop our identity anchor in life determines if we burn out or thrive. Remember, the word is drop. It can happen without us even realizing it, even when we think we're doing good, but we realize our emotional anchor, it's in the emotional waves. And whether we're up or we're down, it's circumstantial, or maybe we're just sinking. Bible scholars identify at least 39 emotions that Jesus felt and expressed. 39. I can't even count 39 for emotions. If you ask, I'm German, my husband's Italian. I was very non-emotional when we got married, let me put it that way, right? He's helped me with that. But 39 emotions that Jesus portrayed. He didn't stuff them. He didn't shame them. He didn't judge them. He felt joy. He felt sorrow. He felt exhaustion. He felt anger. But Jesus invites us to anchor in him and surrender our emotions, not suppress them. Jesus modeled something. His identity was anchored in the Father and who the Father said he was and is to come. But it didn't mean that he suppressed his emotions. He just surrendered them. So to prevent and remedy burnout, we must daily drop our identity anchor in Jesus, not in what we do or how we feel. And that's what our photo booth back there is all about. Take a photo so you can remember where to drop anchor. The anchor we have in Jesus doesn't suppress emotions, but it surrenders them. So the question is, where are you dropping your anchor emotionally right now? Where is your anchor being dropped? All right? And I'm going to just start to wrap up here with role. It's like, how does role impact burnout? We got to get into the scripture here. All right. So the definition of role is being on a roll, momentum that seems likely to continue. Ever been on a roll? Right? Often used to describe someone unstoppable or in a hot streak. I'm going to describe a roll, being on a roll or rolling or roll, as agains. What are we doing again and again and again? Who here loved to like do somersaults or anything like that when you were a kid? Anybody? All right. I couldn't, man. I was like terrified. Anything head down. Absolutely not, right? Hate rolling because you're just doing it again and again and again and again, right? You can't stop, right? And so the agains of our life will determine if we're burning out or we're thriving. What are the agains in your life? Luke 10, we're going to finish up this story now, verse 42. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are necessary, or another word for it is needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, this is an example I have. So this is my wedding band, right? And if you notice, it's missing three little stones, all right? Now, hang with me on this. Don't panic. There's no need to, and I'll explain why in a minute. So I had a wedding band that had an actual diamonds in it. And I wore it, and I lost a stone. And I was like, I lost a stone. What do I do? And it was under warranty, so we took it to a jewelry store, and they put it back in. And then they were like, this is like the most delicate ring you could have possibly gotten for your finger. Like, you can't wear this. It's just going to fall out again. So I was like, okay, so I don't wear that ring. So instead, this is made up of little cut glass. And it's missing three stones. And I almost, like, celebrated when one stone came out a couple weeks ago. I was like, look. I'm still hard with my hands. I'm still hard working. Why? It's worthless, right? I don't even know what it cost. It was like nothing. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters. It's my wedding band. All right, it matters. I respect what it represents. It's a covenant with God, all right, with my husband. But what's in it doesn't matter. And I wear it, and I'll go gardening. I'd hammer something. Who cares? Why? It's not valuable physically, all right? But when I wore the actual diamond, it was valuable. Whether it was valuable or not determined how I treated it, how I protected it. We protect what we value. We don't protect what we don't value. intentionally or unintentionally. It is so easy to slip into treating our time or our work or our energy or our relationships like that glass ring right here. Not valuable, not worth anything, and I'll do anything with it because I don't need to protect it. It's replaceable. But the problem is when we start doing this, we can spend our time like it's cheap instead of the very thing Jesus died to give. And when it's cheap, we don't steward. And whether we burn out or we thrive has to do with how we steward our ability, right? Whether we invite supernatural ability through the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives. So are you on a roll that you want to be? Or are you like me going down a hill when you do those somersaults and you're like, get me out of here, right? And you're just stuck on a roll. Maybe you feel like that this morning. You're starting to get dizzy. The world is spinning out of control. And it's again and again and again and again. You're stuck in the wrong agains. What are you saying yes to and what are you saying no to again? What are you valuing, intentionally or unintentionally? Where are your yeses and your nos coming from? Are they coming from a place of fear, a place of pride, a place of people-pleasing? Are they coming from your values? Are they coming from your identity in Christ? What we say yes to and no to reveal whether we believe we were born to burn out or born to thrive. Mary was able to step away from the distractions and the urgencies around her because she knew her yes. What is your yes this season? Why don't you stand to your feet as we wrap up here? What has your yes and no this spring, personally, in your relationships, if you're married, or friendships, or co-worker relationships, in your family, in your workplace? What we protect, we value. And right now, you might be realizing that you haven't been protecting what you actually really want to value. And it's been unintentional. And I just want to invite us into a place of encountering God right now as we close out. Because God is a God of second and third and hundredth chances. Amen? So remember, we're stopping. Stop. Stop and be present with Jesus through your habits. Drop your identity and emotional anchor in Jesus. Check your anchor and roll. What are you rolling around through? What are you saying yes to? What are you saying no to? What are your agains right now? And how you stop, drop, and roll reveals, are you on a path of burnout or a path of thriving? So Jesus, right now, we just thank you that you are the God who can revive our souls. That when there was a storm and there were waves and the disciples were trapped on a boat and it was rocking and it was rolling and it wasn't stopping and they couldn't drop anchor, they couldn't do stop, drop, and roll on that boat, that you just came up and you said, calm, peace. And I just speak that over any of us today who feel like we're trapped in a storm and we're burning out. And I just bless you this morning to be a light in the world. I bless you to shine. I bless you with life abundantly. And any area that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, I ask right now that Jesus would pour out his life and renew your mind, renew your thoughts towards yourself, renew your emotions, your nervous system, your physical health, your spiritual health. God, would you teach us and show us by the power of your Holy Spirit how to steward our ability to burn bright and not burn out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.